you may or may not know, in our confirmation program, one of the aspects that we have when we're gathering with those young, eager scholars is a section after our presentation, our small group time, where they have an opportunity to stump the presenter. And I think that kind of had me in this mindset as I was engaging Matthew's gospel this week, kind of being inquisitive and questioning. And I found myself wondering, would it have been wrong for the wise men to return to Herod and tell him the location of Jesus? You know, King Herod was the ruling political authority. He had given them a command, and certainly not an illegal one, simply, when you find out where this child is that you're looking for, come back to me and tell me. But rather than return to Herod, the wise men listen to a warning given to them in a dream and give Herod the slip on their way back home. We, of course, have the benefit of knowing the specific details of Matthew's gospel, this birth narrative that includes not just a rising star, but also an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, who came to proclaim the birth of Jesus. We also get to hear that Herod is the clear villain of this story, who will go on to send out an order that all the male children in the surrounding area of Bethlehem should be put to death in Herod's attempt to try and eradicate this threat to his power as the king. But the wise men don't have that benefit. They have a bad dream and a conviction that its authority is greater than the authority of Herod. Would it have been wrong for the wise men to have done ostensibly the lawful thing, to follow the commands of the king, to go against their sense of what God was telling them to do? I often find myself wishing that life was a little bit more clear-cut, that the right thing to do in any given situation was more readily apparent, that I knew how to live, you know, the best life, to get what I want out of life while still being a good person and making those right choices. And when I hear this gospel, this birth narrative that Matthew presents us with, hearing Matthew talk about how God spoke to Joseph and to the wise men in dreams, directing them to attend to what God was doing in the world and how they ought to respond, I just find myself wishing that I would also receive dreams of divine direction, you know? A little bit of a kind of a nod from God about like, hey, you're doing great, keep doing what you're doing. Or like, no, 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 don't do that. That's not going to turn out the way you think it is. You know, just like a quarterly check-in or an annual report, something to just give a little bit more direction about how to be living in this world. And I know for myself that this desire for divine wisdom, to know the truth, to experience some insider knowledge about the will and movements of God, goes back for me a long time. I can remember as a young boy checking out countless books from the library about everything from tarot cards to palm reading to astrology to horoscopes, prophecy, dream interpretation, anything where it seemed like someone was saying, learn this skill and you'll be able to know the truth about the secret inner workings of the world, that you will be able to uncover hidden and ancient wisdom. I mean, I grew up Lutheran, but even our own Christian tradition seems to suggest that such things are possible. Here in our gospel passage today, we have instances of the wise men, you know, discerning the movements of the stars to know God's plan, interpreting dreams. We have people who are understanding what the prophets have said and how it applies. And if there is truth and wisdom in life that God has placed here for us to live better, isn't it right to try and attune ourselves to it? To try and align our senses and our intuition to recognize the divine will seeking to guide us? Ought we as believers seek what is true and shun what is false? And if, as in this kind of talk about all the dream interpretation and reading the stars, if this all sounds a little off-putting or too new agey, you know, a trip down the grocery store checkout aisle reveals quickly how people are still craving insider information about how to get the most out of life. Magazine headlines promising tips and tricks and secrets about everything imaginable, all in the pursuit of a version of life better than the one you're already living. And if this does perhaps sound a little too supernatural, a little too mystical for you on this Sunday morning, perhaps consider a more pragmatic read of Matthew's gospel. Maybe those wise men just knew how 2 and 2 equals 4. Given Herod's history and what it spoke to of his character, maybe they just were a little bit keen to what the implications of Herod's interest might mean for this newborn king. Among his legacies, Herod is said to have ordered multiple assassinations, including some for his own sons, and changed the plans of his own succession multiple times, kind of keep people guessing about who was in his favor and who wasn't. And so when it came to the issue of holding power that Herod had gathered for himself, what was the price of the lives of a few children in the name of national security? Perhaps the reason that Matthew tells us that when Herod was disturbed and all of Jerusalem with him was because Jerusalem recognized that a nervous Herod is a dangerous Herod, and that when people with power get nervous, you don't know what they might do to try and hang on to that power. Maybe the wise men simply have that kind of gut feeling, you know, that instinct that said, like, something about this isn't right. And that was what keyed them in to not bring the attention of power-hungry Herod to this new family. But even then, gut intuition versus the command of the king. In the middle of all of these kind of questions that bubble up for us about the uncertainty that life has to offer, questions about whose authority to trust, about what sources should direct and guide our lives, about the competing voices trying to get us to believe their version of the truth, the promise of the gospel is that God does not desire for us to live in uncertainty and confusion, friends. God entered into the world, became human, lived and taught God's people so that humanity would know the truth of who God is and what it means to follow the ways of God. In order to remove all uncertainty about where we stand in our relationship with God, Christ died on the cross and rose again to declare the truth of God's promise that nothing stands between us and the love that God has for us. Having been freed from the weight of needing to justify ourselves before God, we're able to live according to the will of God, not so that we're able to prove ourselves worthy of God's love, but simply as an expression of that love that we've already received. An overflow of the abundance of God's love and grace for each of us. And so as we gather as a community of faith to reflect and hear God's word, it's not out of an obligation because God needs us to, but it's because God continues to dwell with God's people. The Holy Spirit continues to speak to and to guide us, not in some arcane or secret language that we need to decipher, but in the life and the words of Christ. When questions arise about how we are to live, when choices are put before us about whose authority to follow, we know that God has already made known the truth of how we're to live as God's people. Love the Lord your God with everything that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. If there's an authority figure or some group or system that's trying to position themselves as the only source of authority and truth, see item one. If people or systems or structures attempt to tell us to act in ways that deny the compassion of people in need, see item two. And if someone dismisses item two, see item one again. And Jesus, God revealed for all of the world, that the truth of who God is found in a God whose power and authority rests in compassion and forgiveness, justice and love. Through Jesus, God revealed for all the world the truth of who we are, God's beloved creations. In Christ, God affirmed that all people, even those that society dismisses, are cherished children of the divine. And because of Jesus, we have been set free to be the body of Christ in our time, sharing the truth of God's message of inclusive love and justice for all people. Amen.